All right, we're going to pick up again in our lesson book. We read over the second section, Teaching Good Things. The scripture is going to come from Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5.
Lesson 11?
Yeah, we're in lesson 11. Mm-hmm. On page 59. Starts on the bottom of page 59 in that section. We read the section last week as we closed out, teaching good things, still talking about women's roles in the church. And our lesson text is going to come from Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Can I get someone to read that? You can read it from the book or you can read it from your Bible, either one. Titus 2, verses 3 through 5.
Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but teach what is good, and they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, and be self-controlled and pure and busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, if you...
Yeah, just up to verse 5. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we stopped there. We read that section, that whole section last week. We ended up there. And as I stated before, I don't know how you all might have taken it or what your thoughts might have been. But when I first started this lesson, I had some different thoughts talking about women's roles in the church as compared to what the author of this lesson is trying to point out to us. He wanted to point out certain aspects and certain themes, and hopefully we'll touch on it or we've gotten through most of it, but it will clarify some of your thoughts and ideas. The main thing you may think about when you talk about women's roles in the church is women preachers. But he's going to get to that point later on in the next section, but also he's trying to lay groundwork and show, even though women of that era, of that time period, didn't have much say-so as far as social status, their main concern and I don't know how you can say their main focus was in the home. And things that went on in the home as far as providing for her husband and the children and making a nice home atmosphere. But as far as being out in public, she wasn't too noticed because women didn't have much say-so, none whatsoever, pretty much in the social world. Of course, things have changed whole lot now, and women have a lot more rights. We have a lot more recognized than what they were from previous years. Women have power of voting and a voice in society, and they have businesses, and they do just about everything that a man can do, along with raising a family. Paul was trying to emphasize also how women help bring about Christ through the church and in public, and their roles and what they did and how they aided in that movement of bringing about Christ. And it wasn't a violent type of movement, whereas some of you may remember at one period of time, they had such thing as a movement called the Women's Rights, and women were not up in arms, but they were very forceful and very active in protesting and marching and doing a lot of things, even to get the right to vote. And from that point on in society, shaping society and having say-so in things. So as we talk about this section here, teaching good things, Paul's trying to emphasize how a woman would teach and what she is to teach some good things. And before, as I said, we read that section last week. Hopefully you all might have read it over it or looked over it again before you got here. I'm not going to go into that at this time. But I would like to ask, does anybody have any comments or any questions as to how women are supposed to teach good things? Yes.
I think the role as women has drastically changed within not only the world, but also within the family structure.
Mm-hmm.
I remember specifically when I grew up, mothers would teach children how to keep a home, the female children,
mm-hmm.
how to take care of a home, how to cook, how to do what needs to be done to run a home. Now there doesn't seem to be that much of a focus. I was also taught to believe in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of that has fallen away. Women out of necessity today have to work, mm-hmm. or the majority of them have to. It makes the role for a woman within the home difficult because it's a lot that's on her. But I think because of this, the family standard suffers in a way.
Yes, it does. I would say a whole lot. I would also say that that is one of the main reasons why we have a lot of stuff that we do have in the world today, because that is lacking. Yes.
We wear many hats. Mm-hmm. We always have. And probably we always continue. But that does not mean that we are over-serving our husbands or the church or men in general, you know. I mean, we as a woman, we are women of worth, women of value.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are a lot of things that we have to do. A lot of things that we got to do and should do, you know.
Right. I agree.
But back then, women didn't have to work. The men worked. They like that. When we got to work two or three jobs, we don't like it.
That's true. That's true.
Everybody stayed home, kept the house.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, the last sentence in here, it said, not the last sentence, but in the bottom here, it says, listen to your husband, accept his leadership. And for me, I can listen to my husband almost all the time, except for on Sundays when he says, stay home with me. You don't have to go to church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because there I have to put my foot down and say no.
Right.
Because I'm coming to church on Sunday.
Right.
And I'm coming to Bible class on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell him no.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to overstep him to get here.
Well, that is God's plan. That is what God said. Mm-hmm. So you are following God. And if he's not, then you have all the right, because you know what God says. At some point in our lives, men and women both, we have to make a decision as to whether or not we're going to go by what man says or whether or not we're going to go by what God says. We wear the armor and the dress of Christians. We profess to be Christians. So we have to show that. If we don't show that, you know, it's not just like putting on a uniform and saying, I put on a green uniform, I'm in the army. I don't have the uniform to show the world. My uniform is my actions, everything that I do, the way I carry myself. And if I don't show that, then I'm saying one thing, but I'm doing something else. And God gives us that right, that freedom. Christ died for that. You know, we have that freedom. Free us from sin. So, and God also gives us intelligence enough to know what you're supposed to do. What he said, keeping his word. Once you accept Christ, that's your responsibility to keep his word anyway.
Yeah, you can preach a sermon without ever saying a word.
Yes, yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Your wife.
Okay.
Well, I was just going to say, we have to remember in all things, God comes first,
mm-hmm.
husband comes second. Think on the children. And I think that's the way we need to live. You know, if our husband doesn't like for us to go to church, or for example, a woman, if she doesn't like the man goes to church.
Mm-hmm.
That's on them. You do what God tells you to do. And I've said it many times. I don't care what everybody thinks. As long as God's okay with what I'm doing, that's the main thing.
All right. Go ahead, Ben.
Because of the culture today, many women don't value the role of homemaker.
Exactly.
So a lot of pressure is put on women. Go to college. You can't be anything if you don't go to college. Don't have children. You don't need children. Mm-hmm. You don't need a man in that case, a lot of cases. But that's not what God tells us to do.
Right.
And a lot of people can, a lot of women can stay home, and they do stay home.
Mm-hmm.
And they give up the things, the stuff that our culture values, you know, for the culture of raising their kids.
Right.
And schooling their kids and whatever it takes to raise their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they find great joy in that. So those are lessons to be learned, that we don't always have to have the successful career, the money, the things that society tells us are valuable.
Right.
You know, we need to look further into God's word about that. And most of us, you know, a lot of people today don't even look at the word. So.
That's the key thing you said was cultural. They let cultural influences, they let the world influence us. You know, we're supposed to be in the world, not of the world. You know, but we tend to fall on the wayside along those lines. Yeah.
I just wanted to remind everybody too that Jesus himself said, you know, you don't love me more than father, mother, sister, brother, everybody. You're not worthy of me.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be worthy of Jesus. We want to be on Jesus' team. And it's not going to be easy. He never promised that it would be. But your example is showing him what is priority. Your boys are seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so important. You are speaking volumes by standing firm and following the Lord. And it's not fun sometimes. Like, you know, you want to be here, but someone at home is pulling and tugging on you. But in the end, who do you have to report to?
That's right. That's right.
And that's the main thing. Our salvation depends on this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think it's a social status that we have today, that women have to work or go to work or choose to go to work, because if I don't have the best of the best, then I'm not worthy to be in the in crowd, let me put it this way, because I don't have a better word for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it pushes women to work when really they wouldn't have to. But it's because you don't, and I've had women say that to me, if I don't go to work, I don't have what I have.
Right.
Okay. But what is more important? Sometimes I wish we could all go back to the way it was, where women took care of the home, men went to work, and I think it would be for the better of the children. The reason why we have so much problems today, kids are raised in a, I don't even have a word for that. They're not raised with love and care every day that they would if mom would be at home to raise them.
Mm-hmm.
They in an institution, to me, that's what it's like. And they raised, that's why they don't have a structure. I don't even have the words for it.
Right.
They're stuck in a daycare, and you can't tell me that they get the love and the care that a child needs.
No, but they're taking God out of school. So, you know, that's all together. Everything has flip-flopped. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be nice if a woman could stay at home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to stay at home. I wanted to work. I wanted to be there to help me with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to help him. There's nothing wrong with it. Those who want to stay at home, whatever, whatever. There's nothing wrong with a woman going out there working.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that she got to be president or whatever, but sometimes she need to be a helpmeet to her husband, especially in now time, when right. things are so hard.
Right.
You gotta know how to balance yourself. I worked for over 30 years with children, with difficulties in a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord, that I had him on my side. You got to learn how to balance these things. Everybody can't stay at home and raise a family and think you're going to have the best family because you at home raising your children.
Right.
You don't, you know, it don't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't say that either, but I'm just saying, everybody can't be at home. You got to learn how to balance it out. You got to learn how to put God wherever you are and whatever you're doing, however you have to do in your home, you have to still put God first.
That's true.
Like all these Christian schools, I wonder about what do they teach them?
Well, they're supposed to be teaching
the
basics. They're supposed to be teaching the basics of God's word so we can go out and turn and spread. A Christian school, that's...
Just because it says Christian doesn't mean...
No, it doesn't. That's true. That's true. What I'm saying is, if it bears the name, just like everybody that said you're a Christian is not a Christian either, you know.
Yeah.
But you carry that name, and you're supposed to be, mm-hmm. and rightfully, they're supposed to be if they say they're a Christian school.
Yeah.
But no telling, like anything else, some churches also, they're more interested in money than in... preaching the word or telling the word,
exactly.
You know, spreading the word. The important or main thing, as we always say, the main thing is, as you said, keeping God first. And God shows us and gives us instruction on what we're supposed to do. But he leaves it to us to go about doing it and trying to, that's why we're supposed to read the Bible and rightfully decipher and understand it. And that's why we have classes, you know, there's Bible classes and studies classes, to understand and know what are the guidelines, what we're supposed to do, which way we're supposed to go, the right way, so that, because we are the example. When we go out into the world, we are the teachers. And it starts with the women at home. But it's also, it's not mentioned here in this lesson, but it's also very important, too, that the men are supposed to help the women.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. taking care of the home,
mm-hmm.
regardless of back in that time,
yeah.
or in this time, or in the future time.
A lot of men miss that point.
Yes, it do. I agree with you. I'm sorry. I'm guilty. Because at one point, I was the same way. I was like, my mom used to teach me how to wash,
mm-hmm.
scrub, mm-hmm. do dishes, and clean the house. And she said, you need to know these things. I said, Mom, when I get gone, I'm going to get married. Because, like, that's women's work. You know, I don't supposed to do that. That's what they're supposed to do. But by the same token, in today's society, as we all mentioned, women work just as hard outside the home as men do. When they come home, they are tired. But then they're still supposed to cook. They're still supposed to do the housework. And men sit back and put his feet up and... Typically, because like I said, I was guilty. Typically, if men come home from work, I work all day, I'm tired, bring me a beer. You know, like you're supposed to be the servant, the mother, the housekeeper, the companion, all of that, and helpmate. That's the way men looked at women, which is not too much different from the way men looked at women in the biblical times. You do all that, but when I come home, you serve me and you take care of everything else and whatever, however way you feel, it don't matter. You know, so that's why they didn't have much clout or much say so. Yes.
A lot of men think that a woman's job within the home is not really work.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to reverse the role sometimes, and they're glad to go back to work.
Oh, yeah. They don't realize it unless they experience it. It's a
being a woman and a housewife, that's a 24-hour job. It's There ain't no weekends. There ain't no holidays.
Yeah.
You know, and men forget that.
Even when you're sick. Yeah.
You talking about washing dishes? Who washes them in the home? A man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A bunch of them.
They do.
And we do have examples of working women in Proverbs and Lydia and all
yeah.
that. They were able to hang in there and do their job and still be a shining example because the husband respects her mm-hmm. in Proverbs and give her the reward she's earned and let her works bring her praise in the city gate. It's good to know. And again, you know, got to love the Lord first and foremost. Ask His help. Pray that before you decide to take on something that will take you away from what you've been doing to help. And remember, even to those who aren't believers who are watching you, they're cursed if they do not love the Lord first.
Mm-hmm.
And that is sad. It's very sad. So, but just think about the blessings if you do what God asks you to do. And He sees you. He's in your chaos. He's there with you. You're never alone. And He will bless you with
yes.
doing the right thing.
Bless
no matter
you.
How hard it may be.
Mm-hmm. You had your hand up, Colin?
Ms. Kathy kind of touched on it. Again, remembering that there, when we talk about women in the church,
mm-hmm.
for me, and I'm hopefully not adding anything to it, we have great examples. She mentioned Lydia. We have Deborah. We have Priscilla. We even have Mary Magdalene when she, you know, her life turned around. But in the church,
mm-hmm.
it tells us that women are to, as it says, be silent. The word is to be silent. And if we think about the church, we have to think about the setting. Back then, Old Testament, beginning of the New Testament, it was maybe someone's home or what have you, and a man led it.
Mm-hmm.
And we are the church today, and we understand that. And just like you said, we have class. So, in one hand, are we really being silent? Because now we have an opportunity to speak. But if you are leading the body
mm-hmm.
from a sermon and a pastoral position, I don't think women should be there because He tells us, who is supposed to be a deacon, elder, and things like that. Women are still spiritual. They're still using their gifts of prayer, evangelism. We have never stopped being what God has called us and made us to be.
Right.
Because He did say we are in His image.
Mm-hmm.
But being in His image, He taught, He led, He prayed over others. That is things that we are able to do. But some things we just can't do. Like we can't heal today. That's in His power.
Mm-hmm.
But do we want that power? Why would a woman want to be, my question is, why would you want to be a pastor, an elder, a deacon? I know a young lady who's very committed to her church, but they're going to be ordaining, I think is the word she used today,
mm-hmm.
50 people. And I don't know how many of those 50 are women. I know she's a woman. And you're talking about being a deacon. My understanding of deacon is a man married to one wife, his children have been obedient in the church.
That's right.
So there's no other description for a deacon that I'm aware of.
That's right.
And y'all are not fulfilling that if y'all allow a woman to be a deacon.
That's why the word of God tells us and shows us which way we are supposed to go. But you touched on, you asked the question, why would a woman, to put it, basically, in a nutshell, not only women, but men also, the reason why we stray away from God is because of self. We are concerned more with self and what self wants and what society thinks and following behind cultural things than following behind what the Word of God says. When you said, I know what the Word of God says, but that's when you, God is right here, but
mm-hmm.
I don't want to do this, which is a form of disobedience. And we're going to speak on that a little bit later. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just wanted, one of the reasons you were just asking that is because women will tell you the reason why I have to be a leader because there's no men to stand up and do it. Christian Chronicle article was getting me all hot and bothered because that's why there's so many women who are going to the Christian universities to be leaders because the men won't step up to the plate to do their job. And that
there may be situations where women are required, because God used women also in the Bible in a leadership position at certain times. Mm-hmm. But when that happened, God provided for that the same way he provided that ram in the bush. He will provide the same way he will provide for you and standing up doing what you know God says. He will provide. Now, sometimes God provides, but we, no, I don't want to do that. You know, God is saying you need to do it this way, or he's made a provision for you to do it this way. Oh, it's got to be some other way. I can't believe that God wants me to do this. Why you can't believe it? Because you don't want to do it. Simple in a nutshell. It's got to find a loophole. Got to find a way to curve this thing. Got to do something, because really deep down, this is not what I want to do. So I'm going to find a way where I'm going to change it. And of course, with the help of the devil, he'll allow you to change it.
Oh, yeah.
But then, again, I say, you're being disobedient. Yes.
And I'm glad we are on this lesson about women, you know, role in the church. Because we have to be ready to give an answer for that.
Oh, yeah.
Nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a lot of women that's taking charge.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be God's house. You know, over top of the men. And the men are sitting back and allowing this. I've seen that. I'm like, that ain't right.
Yeah.
You know, why you sitting there and she's doing that? But we have to know in scripture. We just can't say what we feel like it should be.
Right.
So we have to be ready to give that answer, because we in that time now that when you run across that, you run across these nice, pretty preaching women.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask you, well, why you don't like it? You got to be ready to give that answer, a biblical answer,
yes.
Not mine.
Yes.
Because we can always give our opinion, but we need to give God's answer to why he said this is why the woman's supposed to do whatever.
That's why we're supposed to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives us the guidelines which way we're supposed to go. And if they don't accept it, if they come with, that's the way you see it, well, I hear what you're saying, but you know what the word of God is. You have shared it with them. They know. You have shared it, showed them in the scripture where it's at, and they don't read it for themselves if necessary. But if they choose not to, there's nothing you can do about it. You did your part.
Let's skip over that verse about, I don't permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. They must be blind.
Oh,
and the verse
is the same way is what Carla said about what a deacon is. What the guidelines say, what a deacon, his quality is. How can it be a woman deacon? How can it be a woman elder? How can it be a woman preacher?
Right.
You know, there's no way.
Maybe they don't have that book in their Bible.
They have it.
They seem to skip it.
Yeah. They have it, but this is what they want to do.
Yeah, because they it's them. They're doing what they want to do. That's why I say when you get ready to give an answer, you have to give a biblical answer,
right?
And not yours.
Right.
And sometimes, a lot of times, we tend to give how we feel. It's not how I feel about why I don't think a woman should. It's what God said.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So
they had Deborah, Ruth, and Esther.
Well,
yeah, God used them where he wanted to use them and the way in which he wanted to use them.
He can do anything he wants to do.
That's right, because that's God.
And I get that thrown in my face too when, well, Deborah, God brought up Deborah as a leader of his people. Yeah, but she's not like, you know, taking authority away from a man.
Right.
She had a specific job to do, and he used her to do that job. And after that, that was it.
Well, not bringing up Deborah, I think she was just, to me, was more like a guide for somebody. And that happens today. I've had men come and ask certain questions, and I hesitated at first. I'm a woman. Why are you coming to me? Okay. But if they need clarification and I direct them to the Bible, am I taking authority over man?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
No.
The question, it was, I just told them, well, for me, I wouldn't allow that. And it had to do with their children.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if that were my child, I wouldn't allow it. And I left it at that. I said, because the Bible teaches against that. If you allow them, then it's the same way as giving consent to what they're doing. And left it at that. And I asked Mike later on, I said, was I in the right to do that? And he said, you most definitely yeah. were, because they came to you. You didn't preach over them, and you directed him to the Bible, you know.
That's true.
But it's sometimes as a woman, you kind of have to stop and think, am I supposed to do that? Or I've been to people's houses. Nobody wanted to lead prayer before sitting down to dinner and coming to me and asking me to lead prayer.
Mm-hmm.
There are men in here. Why can't you do this? And that's what Kathy was just saying. Some men don't want to step up to it.
But that's not usurping authority over men because you pray in a man's presence. You're not teaching a class or speaking, yeah. You're not teaching doctrinal instruction. You are doing a service.
Yeah.
But they could very well do the same thing. But obviously, they must feel like you were capable of doing it more so than me, and no men objected to it and said, well, I do it, you know. But you, the way in which you carry yourself shows that it was for a purpose. The same way as you instructed the person about the way in which they should do it, you carried them to Scripture
mm-hmm.
to show them this is what God said.
Mm-hmm.
It's still their decision whether or not they want to follow it or not. But leading them, teaching them that way, and that was in private, that wasn't in front of, I wasn't there, but I'm
yeah.
assuming the way you're saying it sounds yeah. like it was in private, wasn't in front of a crowd of people you're trying to do
impress.
Something. Yeah, that's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we are, or women are instructed since we're leading that lesson about women. Men have the same responsibilities also. Was there missing the comments up? Go ahead.
And talking about what Sister Judy was saying, I was at a situation yesterday. I prayed for a man
mm-hmm.
who was the head of his household, but his wife was there because of their circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Again, prayer is something that we can do. We can do. And I am thankful for the avenue of prayer because my husband does not come to church.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one thing I do. We will pray for our meals. We will pray before we go to bed. And he will either agree or disagree by saying, you know, his comment, his standard comment. But if I'm supposed to lead my husband to Christ,
mm-hmm.
and again, if that means at my dinner table with him or at the dinner table with my sons and their family and their sons, I need to show them that what God's word is bringing out in that prayer. Because most of the time when I'm praying,
mm-hmm.
it is not a standard prayer. God has given me the words and the context to which to pray on.
Mm-hmm.
And if it pierces the heart of these people, we talk about teaching and leading.
Right? Mm-hmm.
I can't get my grandkids to come because they got all these activities and they're tired and they don't want to get up. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to fight that battle. But every chance we get together, we're going to pray because they're going to understand. And my grandson does go to a Christian school. So when he tells me what his favorite verse is,
mm-hmm.
I can elaborate on it a little bit more.
There you
like,
go.
So we are thankful for, I'm going to say the small moments, because the small moments are going to hopefully turn these into adults
mm-hmm.
who will seek the Lord.
Amen.
Taking first the kingdom of God.
Right. Well, let me illuminate that just a little bit. That's what you call a private moment.
Okay.
The reason I say private because you're not in a setting where you are teaching a crowd. Say, for example, you having a, as we call it, a dinner party or get together or whatever at your house. There's nothing wrong with you praying there. There's nothing wrong with you leading a Bible class there in the privacy of your home. You are spreading the word. You are putting out seeds. Now, you're not taking nobody and baptizing them, but you are leading them to the Scripture, which there's a responsibility for each and every one of us, men and women alike, young and old alike, because the Lord said, go out and make disciples and spread the word. How else is anybody going to learn or know unless you said something? Mm-hmm. You know, that's like you saying, it's something on your clothes. I'm going to tell you, it's something on your clothes, but I ain't going to tell you what it is. What good am I to you? You know, how am I helping you? Mm-hmm. You know, why would I even say such a thing? I can't say I'm helping you because I'm not. Yes.
I've been in a congregation where two nurses baptized an older man. Mm-hmm. He requested to be baptized, and they baptized him in a bathtub. Those two nurses were so persecuted because they did this.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it was wrong. This man died 2 days later. To me, they did what needed to be done. And I've said it many a times, it doesn't depend on who baptizes you, it's how they baptized you.
Mm-hmm.
And they went through the way it should have been done. Had a man been there or a doctor been there in that moment, fine, they should have went to him and asked him if he would do that. But why does it have to be a matter of persecution because these two nurses decided what they thought needed to be done for this man to be safe? They knew what condition he was in.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was wrong. And I mean, if I'm wrong in this, somebody please educate me on this, because this, I just thought it was wrong. Why? And those two nurses, they left the church.
They were in the church. They were Christian.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were Christian nurses.
We have a misunderstanding there on the baptizer. The baptizer has no miraculous powers.
Mm-hmm.
The power is when they witness and confess the name of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And then do the submersion, which the Bible describes as going on the water.
Right.
There's no miracle power in the baptizer.
That's what I thought.
You're just a witness, like anybody else sitting right here in this chair, witnesses someone being baptized.
Mm-hmm. You're the only Christian. Why shouldn't you do it?
Yeah.
Exactly. You couldn't go run around trying to hunt for somebody that claims they're Christian. That's a man.
That's what I thought too. And I said, why are you condemning these two women when they performed a service not only for this man but for God as well?
I hear you. I don't disagree. I think also each situation is very delicate, is very particular. And if these women were Christians, they should have known some man in their congregation or preacher at their church or deacon or somebody, if they were Christians, that they could have came called on, come help, and need some help. And God would have opened up that way. But I'm not saying it was wrong, because who knows when a person's going to pass, you know, in whatever condition he was in. Sometimes we do things, and sometimes we do things that is not right. We do it for the right reasons, but we may make a mistake at it, you know. We can look at the example of, I can't think of the name, but it was a Bible character that grabbed the ox when it was falling, and God killed him because he was not supposed to touch it. But his intentions were good, but yet still, he did the wrong thing. It would have been better, I imagine, for the ox to fall and hit the ground. But him not thinking he's going to grab it and help it. But thank God, God is very lenient today, more so than he was back in biblical times. But sometimes, as I said, we can get so absorbed in self that we're not thinking clearly, and we want to do what we think is the right thing without thinking about it. Because if they were Christians, they should have had some man that they could have called to help do this particular thing.
So it needs to be a man to baptize.
I didn't say it needs to be. I said we can. What Jerry was saying also, you are just a vessel, a helpmate, as to what needs to be done. The important thing needs to be brought, then the person needs to be brought to Christ. Mm-hmm. If you're teaching them and showing them, as the eunuch said, well, here's water, why can't I be baptized? Just so happened it was Peter that was there, mm-hmm. but that did it. But if it had been somebody else that was teaching him, Priscilla showed Paul where he made an error, mm-hmm. you know, but he learned from that, and the deed can be done. But in that particular time, like I said, sometimes we don't think quick enough or don't think extensively enough to think, well, this is the more proper way. Had they done that, it probably wouldn't have been as much opposition. But obviously, somebody else saw it. It wasn't in private.
No, they came forward in Sunday church, on Sunday worship, and told the congregation what happened.
Okay.
That this man asked to be baptized. I don't know what the situation was with the man. Maybe he felt like he didn't have long to live, but he wanted to be baptized, and he wanted to be baptized right now. It's what the congregation kind of understood.
Okay.
So they took it in hand and baptized. In fact, the nurse that heard it went to another Christian nurse that was in the hospital, and those two got together and baptized that man. And they were by no means women that was trying to usurp authority over men. They actually really meek and quiet women.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, like I said,
I think if I would have been in the same situation, I think I would have done the same thing.
We might would have. We might would have. And I can't condemn it. All I'm saying is sometimes we can't jump too fast. And it wouldn't hurt to take a moment to be more considerate, more thoughtful as to what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And being the fact that, say for example, if you meet a man, a man at your house, you know, could be your relative or whoever, and they say, if you've been studying, they say, I want to be baptized. Are you going to go and baptize them in your bathtub? Or you call Jerry or myself and say, can we use the baptismal pool at the church to come up and baptize them? Mm-hmm. You know, because maybe you yourself may feel like I can't do it myself, by myself. You know, maybe you feel like this tub is not big enough. Mm-hmm. Or you may have a swimming pool in your yard or whatever. You say, I don't want to do that there. But you would think the proper thing to do would be to get in touch with Jerry or myself and come to church and do it, because you thought about it. You just didn't up and do it all of a sudden. Okay, I'll do it right here. Sometimes it takes a moment to think, because even so, it might have been done good, but it still caused a lot of chaos and a lot of confusion because of what they did. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Well, you're right in that respect, because we had that situation with Yvonne.
Yeah.
During Bible class on Friday, she wanted to be baptized, and she wanted to be baptized then.
Mm-hmm.
And at first we were going to do it, and then Brian had just left.
Mm-hmm.
So I called Brian and asked him to come back and baptize her.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why these two nurses, maybe somebody wasn't available.
Most of the
men might have been working. I don't know. I didn't check in that situation. I just thought, to me, they wanted to make sure this man was going to be safe.
And like I said, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I still say we do things sometimes impulsively. We need to sometimes take a moment to think, to make sure, if possible, to try not to, you know, we want to do things decent and in order. And try to make sure that we don't cause more problems than we do by helping, because it's get easy to happen.
Melissa, Judy, I think the key here, as far as the timing is concerned, it's up to the person who wants to be baptized immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be baptized now. You don't thwart his will of being baptized. Well, let me get a hold of somebody. Or would you rather be get a hold of somebody if they say, no, I want to be baptized now? then you, as a human being, have the right to lead him to baptism.
And I think maybe that was the situation. Yeah. And okay. They didn't hide it. They came right forward in church and told everybody what they did. So to me, there shouldn't have been any reason to persecute those two nurses because they did this.
Okay. Well, I'm sure he did. Yeah, I'm sure he did. Well, I didn't get to bring out some of my points that I wanted to bring out, but I think we covered a lot of good points that need to be covered this morning. No, don't be sorry, because I said before, and I still say, this is the purpose of Sunday school or purpose of class or study. If you have a question or a thought or not understanding something and you sit back and don't say nothing, then you never get understanding. You never know whether you're on the right page or the same page as the rest of the Christians. Then you go out and tell somebody one thing, then another Christian go out and tell somebody something else, and we are confused. The whole point in us being Christians is to have unity and to show unity. That's what Paul stressed. When do we have an opportunity to ask questions and find out if we don't come together? Whether we get together in the home, at the coffee shop, on the street corner, wherever, if you got something that I don't quite understand this, or I've heard it said that this, that, and other, or what do you think about this? Are we on the same page? Do we understand the Bible the right way? Do we disciple the word the right way? Because we can't tell somebody else something and it be wrong. You know, that's not, we don't stand for Christ saying different things.
I think sometimes we have women, or God sometimes puts us women in a situation where we do question, should I go ahead and do this, or am I going to be wrong if I do this? But yet if I don't do it, somebody may lose their life because I didn't do that, you know. So,
well, how would they have felt if this man died when they were, like, calling up somebody?
Yeah.
We got to get him in the church building. I mean, come on.
And that's that's what I'm saying. If you as a woman put in a situation, then I would rather do what serves this man as to become a Christian than to worry about what somebody else is going to say.
Understand.
See what I'm saying?
I understand.
It's difficult sometimes to make that decision at a split second.
I hope you all understand. I'm not contradicting, and I'm not saying you're wrong.
No,
all I'm saying
is, if
at all possible, try to. But if the opportunity arises,
clarification on this.
Yes, if the opportunity arises, do what you believe right. Always put God first.
Yeah.
If you put God first, He's going to direct you to doing what should be done.
Yeah.
You know, if for the right intentions. And if you're not, then we lose behind that.
Yeah.
But I'm in agreement. I don't want y'all
thank
to think
you.
I'm
no,
disagreeing.
No, thank you. Because that clarifies
you
a lot of things.
Like you say, if it's wrong, even if 100 people say it's right, it's still wrong.
If you find the word of God, you're right. How can you be wrong when you're following God? If 100 people say you're wrong, God is the only one that you know is right.
They don't want wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
I just want to encourage everybody that God is so good to us here at Edgehill to have you leaders, the men who are stepping up when there's always an empty spot, the men who pray and read scripture that never said a word, for those we still need to teach to pray in front of our congregation or to lead a song or whatever. It's so encouraging, and I just wanted everybody to know our doors are still open. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you all.
Amen.